أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نضرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عين يشرب بها المقربون إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون صدق الله العظيم. كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين. Indeed, the record of the virtuous will be in عليين. And what will make you know what is Aliyun? A written record. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The angels that are close to Allah keep on looking at it. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in bliss. In the beginning part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about al-fujjar, the evildoers, the sinners, that kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin, that the record of al-fujjar, the evildoers, will be kept in sijjin. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi aliyin, the record of the virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in Aliyin. And I narrated the hadith at the time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sijjin is below the seventh earth, and Aliyin is above the seventh heaven. The record of the virtuous people, and not only their record, even their soul will be kept in Aliyin, and the record and the soul of the sinners, kuffar, munafiqeen, will be kept in Sijjin, below the seventh earth. By looking at the hadith, it looks like that there is under the seventh heaven or under the seventh earth, there is a lot of fire. It's all fire there. And on the day of judgment, that fire will keep on blowing up, and it will come through the oceans, and all the oceans will catch a fire. And after the oceans will get into fire, then gradually all the water of the universe will start catching into fire, and all human beings will see around them will be fire. And then there will be so much fire that even the sun will be added into that. sun, moon, stars will all be added into that fire. And all of that will become part of the hellfire. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, in Surah Qaf, that hellfire is so deep. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ. On the day of judgment, we will ask the hellfire, are you full? وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. After sending all the sinners and kuffar into the hellfire, Allah says, I will ask the hellfire, are you full? And the hellfire will say, هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. Is there any more? I need more. So that is Sijjin, and Aliyin is above, up in the heaven, close to the Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عَلِّيِّينَ. Indeed, the record of the virtuous people will be in عَلِّيِّين. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عَلِّيُّونَ. What will make you know what is عَلِّيُّون? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not go any further to explain what is عَلِّيِّين. In the previous ayahs when he said, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ. The record of the sinners will be in Sijjin, and what will make you know what is Sijjin? At that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped there. At what will make you know what is Sijjin? Here he stopped at this point. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. Did not explain neither place that what is Sijjin and what is عِلِّيُّونَ. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not explain, because this is something cannot be explained. All we know that it's a place of punishment. Sijjin is a place of punishment, is a prison where there is fire. But everything that's behind the scene, which means under the ground or above the heavens, whether it's Jannah or Jahannam, whether it's Sijjin or Aliyin, we can really never understand what are these things. And everything that we name of that life is just a name that we borrow from this life for things that are over there. Those things will have no comparison of what we have over here. These things are nothing close to what's over there. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just left it to that point. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. What will make you know what is عِلِّيُّونَ? No one will know what is Aliyin. The hadith that will explain that point to us is the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. I have prepared for my virtuous servants things that no eye have ever seen it. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. No eye have ever seen it. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. No ear ever heard about it. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And no human being ever thought about it. This is what I have prepared for my virtuous servants. So this is what's for the virtuous people over there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, if it is something that we have never seen it, we have never heard of it, and we never even thought about it, which simply means if we all sit together and think about, in case of fruit, for example, think about the best fruit you can have and then try to add the sweetness to it and every quality that you like and every taste that you like and every smell that you like, and you try to think that something like this will be so great, and in Jannah will be much greater than that. It's something that we can never even think that we can have something of that kind. Even our understanding is very limited and can never figure out even something close to what's over there in Jannah. So in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem explains some things that we will have in Jannah, some bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be receiving in Jannah, in case of fruit or hur, woman, or any other blessings that we have in the Jannah, these things are just some names borrowed from this life. Other than that, in reality, we will really figure out what those things are only after seeing them and after trying them. As in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as a person will enter into the Jannah and he will look at the hur, just the first look at the hur, he will be standing over there years, just looking at it. Just looking at the hur. Looking at her, he will be just standing over there for years. Now, if we tell a woman in this life that you'll be so pretty and you try to explain everything and try to borrow the name of any makeup that's there in the market, and you use this type of makeup and you use this and this and this and those type of lights and those type of lipsticks and those type of powders and creams and all of those things together, and try to tell her that you will be better than this, but still we can never even tell. In fact, what is this makeup? You know, someone comes to us and he starts lying at us. Someone, you know, a child came to you and he starts lying at you. You tell him you are making it up. Don't make up things. So this is what the makeup is. That she's trying to make up something that's not there. But in Jannah will be the reality of it. There will be no makeup over there. It will be the reality. And imagine if a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us the hur will be like this, that you will keep on looking at her for years. Now the woman from this world, from this life, will be the leader of all the hur and better than every hur in the Jannah. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, something that we can never even think we will have it over there. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped at وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. What will make you know what is عِلِّيُّونَ? And that's it. Full stop there. That in this life we won't understand it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to the book when he said إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ. The record of the virtuous will be in عِلِّيِّينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the book, something description of the book, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. It's a written record. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Now think, this record of the virtuous people is in عَلِيِّينَ, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping it close to where His arsh is, where His throne, and He's keeping these records under the throne. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The angels that are close to Allah, مُقَرَّبُونَ, from قَرِيب. Angels that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they keep on looking at that record. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that they keep on looking at that record? What's my benefit in it? What is it that we are getting from it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, when human being does virtuous deed and becomes closer servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he becomes in al-abrar, virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets so high that even the angels are proud of his deeds, and they keep on looking at these deeds so proudly that look how great the human being is, that he is doing such great deeds. Because these are the angels who in the beginning objected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Are you going to create such people in the world who will keep on committing mischief in the world and keep on shedding the blood? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on showing them the record of the virtuous people that you said that these people will be bad. Look at these records also. So it's not only one side, there is another side of it also. That keep on looking at the deeds of these human beings, how high deeds they have. And this is why it is the part of our aqa'id, our beliefs, that the angels, the leaders of the angels and the greatest of the angels, which is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he's the leader of all the angels, still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater than him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater than all the angels. And that tells us that human being, when he does the good deed, how high a human being can go. In fact, a great muhaddis, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, says about the hadith that regarding the first revelation that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam hugged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 times, saying to him, Iqra, read, and he would hug him and squeeze him hard, and then he would let him go. Then again, Iqra, and squeeze him hard, then he would let him go. He did it 3 times. He said at the 3rd time, he transferred everything from his heart to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the beginning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started up that level of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And that was the reason when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after almost 11 years, when he was taken for Isra and Mi'raj, and he was taken to the heaven, he came to a point where Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam had to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, this is the end of my limit. You keep on going, you can go further, but I cannot go any further. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The angels that are close to Allah, they keep on looking at this record, and they feel great that look at human beings, how great deeds these human beings are performing. Really, we as human beings, we don't know our value. And we don't really know the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with and has given us. If we would really know the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we would be just crying and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. We won't have a chance even for any other ibadah than just thinking about, let me thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the value that He has given us. And we as human beings, when we look at our souls, look at all the dirt that we are involved in day and night. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a high level. If we start obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means in reality we have that high level. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. By creation we all are created on the pure nature. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every human being is created on the pure nature of Islam. When the child is born, he does not have idol worshipping in his mind and his heart. It's later on that people will put it in his heart and his mind. So we are created with that pure nature. Now you think about it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us extremely clean and pure. Unlike the belief of the Christians, of course, who believe in the original sin that human being is created with, because Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made a mistake, and that mistake continues with all the human beings until you believe in the blood of Jesus. But our iman is, human being is free of sins when he's born, عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, he's pure and clean. It's only we that we start developing different things into our hearts and minds. So now if you look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really have given us a very high status. In fact, the highest status in the world. As I said, human being gets higher than angels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is higher than all the angels, including Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is part of our aqaid, part of our belief. So I was saying, if we look at it, how high level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we would really be just thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing, and we will forget everything else. That human being can go so high when the human being starts obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the animals keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of this human being. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, even the fish in the ocean, all the fish in the bottom of the ocean, there is a fish that's swimming there and is asking Allah to forgive these virtuous people. Look at this level. That why the fish has to ask for forgiveness for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything serve human beings. There is an ayah of Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ. That there are people when they die, the heaven and the earth never cry on them. Which simply means that when the virtuous people die, the heaven cries and the earth cries. The earth cries because it's missing those good deeds that this virtuous man used to do. And the heaven cries because it's missing those good deeds that were always going through the heaven. Up to the seventh heaven, his good deeds were always going up there, and angels are coming, going and back and forth, taking his good deeds over there and keeping his record in Aliyin. So this is why the heaven is missing all of this. Earth is missing those good deeds. This is why even the heaven and the earth cry. Look at the level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the human being. Look at the respect that heaven and earth will cry for us. The condition is we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at these things, it seems that we are really cheating ourselves, giving so much importance to some things in this life that we are totally cheating ourselves. And really we are not even being truthful with ourselves. Forget about with others. This comfort that we are looking for, and the little rest that we try to look for, what type of rest are we really looking for? How long is this rest? If we really want the real rest and real comfort of the life, then this is the comfort of the life, that the person serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here there is a very important point I must remind all of us. Remember, our soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human nature in such a way that human nature always looks for pleasure. This is our nature. We can never skip it. We can never change it. This is also, again, remember, we can never change it. It will remain the same. That's our nature that we are created with. That our desires, our nafs, our souls, our inner soul loves the desires. Loves to fulfill all of its desires. It's like it likes the comfort. So this is what our nafs is always looking for. When a person is sitting and listening to some music, what is it that this person is getting from it? At that time, that person who is listening to the music, he really feels very comfortable that, oh, I'm getting something out of it. And I feel so good when I listen to this music. Early morning, they wake up, they will put on the music. They will start their car, they will put up the music. And workplace, they will first thing start the radio, then they will start their work. Why? They need some pleasure throughout the time and throughout the day and night. We have some mattress. We go to the market, we see some better mattress. Let me get this one. I will have more comfort with this mattress. And we throw the old one out and get a new one. Everything in our life, we like the things that we feel I will be very comfortable with. It will give me some comfort in the life, will give me some pleasure. This is what always our nafs is looking for and we are looking for. Now I will tell you a very simple way to take over this and use it the right way. Remember, Sharia is so easy and at the same time is so beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created anything for in us, in human beings, for no reason. Whatever He created in us, there is a purpose for having that. And there is the right use for having those things also. A person who gets angry and he comes to us and he tells us, I cannot control my anger. And everyone cries with him that make him control his anger, and still he is not able to control his anger. Sharia gives him a very extremely easy way to take over his anger. What is that? Sharia tells him that don't try that you would never get angry. Don't try for that. Don't try to finish this habit of getting angry. All you do is change the values in your mind so that you will get angry at the right time. You will get angry at the right time. At this time, you get angry when people curse at you, at your father, at your mother, at your brother, at your sister. But change the values in your mind. The anger will remain the same place, same position, but change the values so that you will have more importance of Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, less important of yourself, of your father, of your mother, of your brothers, of your sisters. Now if someone will talk against Allah, against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against Quran, you will get angry, and your anger is accepted by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if someone will talk against you, against your brother, sister, father, mother, you won't get that anger. Changing the values in our mind. Same thing I was with everything. Arrogance. We all know there is a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a sahabi in the battlefield walking with his chest out, and very arrogantly he's walking in the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this type of walk except in the battlefield. So there is a right time of using it too. Use your arrogance. Go and use it in the battlefield against the enemies of Islam. So there is a right time of using everything. If a person will never get angry, someone will curse at Allah. This is what normally the freedom today, when the people talk about freedom, this is what they are trying to convince us. That let people talk against Allah, let people talk against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let people talk against any religion. You don't have to worry about it. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. That's the freedom. They have the freedom to say anything they want. But Islam is teaching us the right use of everything. So here Islam is teaching us the right use of our desires and things, as we always like, as our nafs like to use comfort and desires. Islam will tell us how to use it properly. And the way of using it is, you have to beat up yourself for some time. Get it used to some of these ibadahs. Once it will get used to it, then the comfort of our soul will be in that ibadah. Then, whenever you will get bored, for example, there are people, go to the libraries, there are people who are sitting in the library day and night. He's just sitting over there. Or she's sitting over there and studying and reading and studying. Are they studying everything just for their course? No. Because they have nothing else to do. They were bored. Everyone is getting bored. And some people will go to a club. Other people will go to watch a movie. Some people will go and sit in their home and take a cup of coffee in front of the TV. Some people will go out in the to one of the gardens to go and enjoy over there, have a walk. And there are some people who are sitting in the library, they are studying books. Because now they got themselves so much used to studying, reading, that they love reading. So when their inner soul is looking for some comfort, what they do is they go to the library, they pick up some of the books, they start reading. if we get ourselves used to the ibadahs, tasbih subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, reciting Quran, performing salah, some of these things, then whenever we get bored, we'll come back to these things, and we won't be bored anymore, and we will feel comfortable. Because we got ourselves used to these things. They are children. They never like to study. You beat them up. You have to study. Do this. Do anything. But he will never study. And all of a sudden, after a certain age, a change comes into his life and starts studying. Now this child is sitting with the book day and night. Parents go to his room. Come on, go out. Today we are going out for a picnic. I don't want to come. I want to study. And they leave. Next time, there are some guests at our home. Come on, let's sit with them. I want to study. And anything they ask him to do, and he just says, I want to study. We are going for shopping. No, I have to study. He is not studying for the course, and everyone knows that this is now he got a habit of studying. He enjoys studying now. So now the parents are telling him, you better close this book now. The same parents before, they were telling him that open the book and keep on reading. And now they are trying with him that close the book and come out. This is not good for your health. And this is not. And he says, no, I just want to study. A child. When the child does not speak, parents every day are waiting. When the child is going to start learning, learn how to talk. And they try to teach him some words, and the child pick up some words and starts talking and gradually talks more. And now as the child starts talking, the parents say, come on, keep quiet. This is what normal it is. But I was telling you the nature of human being is that we love some comfort. We like something that we love and like to do those type of things that we feel pleasure doing it. It's only getting ourselves used to it. Once we get used to those things, then we feel comfortable doing those things, and we will always be running to those things. Whenever we don't like something, we will run to those things. This is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us. جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. My peace of mind is in salah. That whenever I feel uncomfortable for some reason, I don't like something around me, I just go and start my salah. And he feels comfortable. So this is our nature. We need to understand our nature from Quran, because Allah, the creator of the nature, he tells us what exactly our nature is about. And he tells us how we really can use it properly. So this is something very important. And really, I have told you something that if you go through thousands of books about how to really control your desires and stop yourself or stop someone from doing evil, you will get, this will be the bottom line, that change the things of comfort of his life. Change those things that he likes in his life. There are certain games in our life. There might be some games that we play now. But if you try to recall, there might be we might have gone through a time when someone said, okay, you know, you kick the ball like this, or you hold the bat like this. And I said, I don't like this game. You know, I don't know how to play it. And our friends keep on telling us, come on, just try it once. And do it this way, and do it this way, and do it this way. And we kept just... For our friends, we kept on doing it a couple of times, and now we started liking it and gradually liked even more. And finally, the person now doesn't want to come out of that field. This is when we get ourselves used to doing something. Then we desire to do it. We love to do it. We like to do it. And our soul, this is what our inner soul is looking for. Something that we like. People like TV. They sit in front of the TV. People like exercise. They go and do the exercise. People like reading, they go and read. And people like in the masajid, they come and sit in the masajid. People like tasbih, they like start doing tasbih. People like Quran, they start reciting Quran. What was making, for example, Uthman radiallahu anhu standing the whole night and every night trying to finish one Quran? finishing one Quran every night. And not only that, he's finishing Quran every night. You know, when a person, he plays some different games, then he tries to use different techniques in that game. Usman radiallahu anhu tells us he's using different techniques now with something that he loves and he likes. So he says, I finished one Quran standing on one foot. Standing on one leg, I finished one Quran. Standing on the other leg, I finished another Quran. So this is, he's using different techniques now. Something they like, something they love. They use their techniques in those things. This is exactly what our inner soul is about. It loves to do something that we desire to do it. Something that we love to do. And things that we don't like to do, the soul doesn't like to get into it. There are people who always work in farms. You bring them out of the farm, keep them at your home for a week, keep all type of perfumes around, he won't like it. He likes that smell that was in the farm. You take him back, even for a day, you pass by a farm, he will enjoy it. Oh, this smell reminds me of my forefathers. It reminds me of our world. It reminds me of this. He enjoys that smell. And you are closing your nose and barely you can breathe over there, that sooner you want to hurry to get out of that position. But that person is used to it and he loves that type of smell. With our food, from different backgrounds, sometimes you present a food to some people, and those people will not even think of testing or touching that food because of the smell of it, because of the look of it. And for us, when we look at that food, it's so delicious and it's so something that we were always looking for. And when we eat it, we remember our mothers and this and that. So this is exactly what it is. Getting used to it. Getting used to something. There are people who come from different countries. I have experienced this also. You give them pizza. And you know, in this country, pizza is a food. It's not just something that fat one item out of 10. It's a food by itself. It's something that people will eat it for lunch, for dinner, for example. And it happened that people were offered pizza and they're waiting for the food. Because this is only bread with something on it, but they're expecting to have some rice, some curry, some meat, some bread. So this is just like a cookie for them. You know, you eat a little bit of it, but the real food is something else. So it's basically what we get used to it. And when we get ourselves used to something, then our inner soul starts liking it and enjoys doing that. So this is exactly what I was mentioning. If we get ourselves used to the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will enjoy the ibadah of Allah. So after some time, we will start enjoying these ibadahs. Then we will love it. Very simple. Sometimes we love to recite Quran. We read it, for example, during the month of Ramadan. Those people who started reading it for some time and 15 days they were just reading it. And some days they had to force themselves. And finally now, after 15, 20 days, they feel like even reading it throughout the month. And every time they can spare any minute and read some Quran. Because we got ourselves used to it. This is what we need to do to ourselves. That get ourselves used to some of these ibadahs. Once we will get used to it, then our inner soul will enjoy doing that ibadah, and then will never ask us to do something wrong, will ask us to go and come and do these things. Just like those people who are sitting in the libraries, there are a lot of other entertainment for them out there. But they enjoy sitting in the library more than anything else. But some people enjoy sitting in the library for different reasons. I don't want to talk about those reasons. There are parents who tell me, you ask them at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, where is your son? He likes studying, sitting in the library. Okay, I know what he's doing in the library. So that we have to be careful with also. But I mean, when we sit in the library and people enjoy studying, and they have a lot of thousands of entertainment out of that library, the different things that they can do, but yet they love studying, they love reading, because they got themselves used to that. So same thing, if we get ourselves used to some of these tasbihat, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recitation of Quran al-Kareem, or even studying the Islamic books, studying, getting more knowledge, reciting Quran, reading the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is also something that if we get used to it, it will be a part of our ibadah, that we seek the knowledge of our deen, and we will enjoy it also at the same time. So then our inner soul will not ask us to go and commit sins. It will never ask us to go and watch TV and let's go to a movie, let's go and do this, because inner soul loves this thing now. It doesn't love the other thing. So it will ask us to do what it loves. So if we get ourselves used to things that are good, so we will love to do those things then. And then our inner soul will never ask us to go after those things. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the virtuous people will be in bliss, and we will have all type of enjoyment over there in the Akhirah, which is the real enjoyment. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Sitting on couches, watching. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, as we go into the Jannah, then people will be sitting on their couches. And they will be just looking what's going on, enjoying all the scenes over there. Whatever they need, it will just come to them over there. And everything that they can think of, that they need, will be just right there for them. So, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be sitting on couches and they will be watching. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You will recognize the blissful splendor on their faces. When you look at their face, it's not like a person who have never slept for a long time and tired and fatigued. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You will see that their faces are just like an open flower, a beautiful, that means you can tell this from the face of the person that he's enjoying, he's happy, and he really likes the situation that he is put into. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They will be offered sealed wine. Now, we think, why offer the wine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, لا لغو فيها ولا تأثيم. The wine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about having in Jannah, it will be something that will never intoxicate the person. لا لغو. People will not talk of things that is not supposed to be uttered. ولا تأثيم. They will not do any sin. There will not be, that means it won't be intoxicating, but it will be a type of wine that it's called wine. خِتَامُهُ مِسْكُ. The seal of it will be musk. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Those who would like to compete in anything should compete in these things. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. A very important point. That we, this is another thing, our nature, like to compete with others. Like to be more knowledgeable, more wealthy, better in, or more healthy, we can say. And we'd like to be better in different things with others. And we have some competitions in our mind that we keep on developing that competitions. And because of the competition, that encourages us also to do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, use this quality also in the right place. Which is, use it for competing for akhirah in doing the good deeds. As Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in used to do. They used to compete with each other in doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to compete with each other in doing the good deeds. And there are hundreds of hadith about it. A very simple example that all of us, I'm sure, know is the hadith about Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Umar radiallahu anhu was trying to compete with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to give more donation at the time of the Battle of Tabuk. And finally, he ended up finding out that he can never beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That's simply telling us that even Abu Bakr radiallahu, even Umar radiallahu anhu has this feeling of competing with others. But their competition is something that Allah loves, not only loves, He's asking us to have that type of competition. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Whoever would like to compete with others should compete in these type of things in achieving the Jannah, in achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the competition will be in performing good deeds. How many juz did you recite today? 2? I'm going to recite 3. How many rak'ahs did you perform tonight? You performed 6. I'm going to do 8 rak'ahs tonight. And this is the competition. So competition, of course, always helps, as long as we use it the right place. If we start competing with our wealth, then of course it's something that is never helpful. Of course, helpful in collecting more wealth, that will make us work hard in getting more wealth, which is of course useless, because even if you collect 1,000,000 or you collect 100, you will eat that piece of bread that's supposed to be for you, and you won't eat more than that. No human being will eat a single piece of rice more than what's already written for him. No human being will take a single drop of water in his life more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already assigned for him. Whether we earn a penny or earn millions and billions. But of course, if we use it, there is right use of the wealth also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those who have the wealth to use it right. And to tell you the truth, nowadays, with whatever little we feel we have little, that's also really a lot. Even our little is a lot. We only consider ourselves having little because we look at those who have billions. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days have not really put us in a situation that we don't know if tomorrow I will have some food or my children will starve to death. It's not that situation. So, alhamdulillah, we all have enough, alhamdulillah. We find this is something interesting that I would just mention it from the history. That we find in the past, in the history, people never used to try to hide how much wealth they have. They used to come up and say that, you know, I have this much. And mashallah, I'm praying for this now also. They would never try to hide it. But nowadays, it's a habit that everyone tries to hide the wealth from others. If a person has 1,000,000, he will try to say, I have only 100,000. For whatever reason, I don't really know what that reason might be in everyone's mind. But we like others not to find out how much I have. Let them find out. What's wrong with it? If you don't want to give it, you don't give it. It's your wealth. You don't have to give it to every person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ When you have the blessing of Allah, tell people about it. بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ When you have the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell people about it. You don't have to hide it. Tell them, and don't worry about what they think about you having all of that money. Because they will have more than what you do. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, تعرف ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون People, whoever wants to compete, should compete in these type of things, getting the pleasure and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومزاجه من تسنيم And it will be mixed with the water of tasneem. What is tasneem? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself explains in Quran, عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ A spring from which those will drink who are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tasneem is a special fountain in Jannah. Those people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be offered the water of tasneem. It will be a special water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Abrar, the virtuous people, will be served the water from that fountain of Tasneem. So up to this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us about the virtuous servants, that these are some of the blessings that the virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be getting in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to compete with each other in getting these pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a practical point, since we talked about it, and we don't want to keep our deen, Islam, just a theory, like all the other religions. We'll talk about the theory, and we'll talk about the religion as part of the history, that the angel came to the prophet and he said this to the prophet, and prophet said this to the people, and that's the end of the story. We don't want to just make this as a history. We have to take it as a reality of the life and get the practical lessons of how to adopt these things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, people should compete with each other in doing these virtuous deeds and achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very practical point that is very helpful. Get some of your friends, 3 or 4 of your friends, close friends, and promise each other that if we see each other doing something wrong, we will all together, we will stop that person from doing that wrong thing. And we will encourage each other in doing the good things and assign one thing, for example, in a month. That, okay, this month, all of us will try to do as many salah as we can with the jama'ah. And let's see at the end of the month who does the most. And now it's an encouragement. Everyone is trying to do all 5 prayers in the jama'ah. One person misses 2, another person misses 3. The next day he tries to make up for those and he does all of them. So these type of friendship, which is فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, those who want to compete, they have to compete, they should compete in these type of things. This is a good competition. And take, for example, one of the sins. And we take it that, okay, let's try not to get into it at all. And we will all try our best to catch the other person trying to do one of these sins, and we will try to stop him from doing it. And let's see who stops the other. And take, for example, backbiting. Now you see a person sitting in the gathering. You're sitting around him and watching. You wait for him that he would say something about another person, and you will grab him right there. You know, this is backbiting. Take a sin of looking at non-mahram women, haram things, and walking together. You know, I saw you looking over there. That was haram for you to do that. This month, we will make sure that, okay, no TV. And now every person has to come up. How much TV did you watch today? Okay, I didn't watch nothing. And these are the things, this is those who would like to compete in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something very practical for them, that have those type of friends who will help us do the righteous things and encourage us in doing some of the good deeds. And I have seen some people really who have adopted real good habit by doing these type of things. There are people I know who compete with each other in doing 40 days salah with the jama'ah. So let's see who will do complete 40 days the salah with the jama'ah without missing any salah in the jama'ah. And they compete with each other in doing these type of things. And they really have achieved a lot by this type of friendship. Allah blesses that type of friendship. This is the type of friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, those people who have friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be having the crown on the day of judgment and thrown on the day of judgment, that the crown will be such that Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam will look at them and will feel that this is not a prophet, but how come he's having such a great place over there? And they will have to ask, who is this person? And they will be told that these are the two people who had the friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is a practical lesson of something. If we really like to change our life and bring something good into life, our life, and get rid of all the evils that we are doing in our life, this is a very practical lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Sirat al-Mustaqim and give us tawfiq to follow the Sharia of Islam and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and have our completions in doing the righteous deeds and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.